We are recording this early Tuesday morning, just after midnight on the East Coast. I'm Jim Williams with Nikki Heeman from the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net, with Brett Clint Daniel, the founding editor and webmaster of WrestleChat.net, Jason Block, our contributor to many shows, Tyler Brown as well, and Carl Chenier. We are on this podcast to kind of put all the pieces together of the news that came out of Montreal Monday night. Jerry the King Lawler, veteran of over 40 years in the business, he had collapsed during Monday Night Raw while he was at the commentary table. And we're going to pick up the pieces and kind of give you the explanation of how everything happened. We do know this, though. He collapsed during the tag match involving Daniel Bryan and Kane versus the Primetime Players. We went through the video. The video we're not going to link you to specifically. If you want to search YouTube for the Raw show, that's at your own discretion. And what ended up happening was he was on commentary, going back and forth, and then it sounded like he was snoring, and then he collapsed into his chair and to the ground. And while the match was going on, everybody noticed this. And Nikki, I'll bring you in first. You and I both watched this. In fact, you didn't exactly know what was going on until somebody called you.
Exactly. The only hint that something was going on to me at the time was that the audio got very quiet. And I thought that that was just something out of the production truck. Now, shortly after the match was over, I received a phone call from a friend of mine in Orlando who was asking me for some information. And it was just as Michael Cole was making his first announcement. So I was passing the information on to her and made it very clear to her, since I didn't see it and the home audience did not see it, that this was in no way, shape, or form an angle. It couldn't be.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, and Cole had to state that as vociferously as possible. And you know, all the credit in the world to Cole for getting through the broadcast with that situation. Let me bring in Brett Clint Daniel from WrestleChat.net. You have been on this story since it broke, just after 10 p.m. Eastern, some 2 hours ago from when we're recording this. Pick up the pieces from everything that you know.
Well, it looks like at this time, those in the back are being told that Jerry Lawler did indeed suffer a heart attack. I mean, obviously, it's still early, but it looks like a heart attack or a stroke of some sort. He's awaiting right now a CAT scan for his chest and head. It's still at that situation. As of 12:09 a.m., just a few minutes ago, that hasn't taken place yet. So he's still in the ER, still being monitored. He's still stable, breathing on his own, and he is alert. And from what I understand, since Raw has gone off the air, he's actually more alert than we were actually told towards the end. So he's now kind of interacting with doctors and things like that. He has no idea what happened. There's a missing block there. But it looks like hopefully he dodged a bullet here, and you know, we wish him the best, definitely in our prayers.
Absolutely, absolutely. To pick up some of the pieces of how things also transpired, during the rest of the show, no commentary aside from Cole giving us updates on what was going on with Jerry Lawler. There were talks, and you tweeted this, that there were considerations, Brett, that the powers that be were going to scrap potentially one or two of the final segments of the show. The only thing that did get scrapped, if I'm not mistaken, was the Pat Patterson tribute to happen after the show was to go off the air, correct?
Yes, that's correct. At 10:31 p.m., that is the time where the WWE was considering scrapping the rest of the show. At that point, it looked really, really dire. CPR was still being administered in the back. This was before he was even transported to the hospital. So, yes, around 10:30 is when they were deciding on whether or not to go through with the show.
An incredible turn of events. And, again, credit to the medical staff there on site at the Bell Center in Montreal for getting things done as expeditely as possibly can, to the, and Nikki will back me on this, to the television crew for doing their best not to show the proceedings, the traumatic proceedings on camera, though when watching back the video, and Brett will mention this too, and I'm sure Nikki you will as well, that you could see at one point during the shot from opposite side of where the announce table is, that Cole was, you know, looking down while on headset, trying to get through commentary, also trying to help Lawler, who was down underneath the announce table.
Right, but in this case, you know, you have to be watching for it, because he there's only about 3 or 4 seconds of video of this. Again, if anybody wants to look this up, please do so at your discretion. We're not and I understand WrestleChat will not post a video, nor will they post any fan pictures that were probably taken of the instance. I'm going to give huge props to the production crew for keeping this so well off camera. This was done even better than when Wade Barrett had injured his arm elbow at a Raw back in February. That still got a couple of shots on camera. This one did not. We did not see a stretcher. The only other thing that I think I saw was the, I think his name is Chris, the real heavy set medical tech. Mm-hmm. They did have a wide, and you see him run around the ring, but that's really about it. And if you're not, you know, if you're only giving it half an ear, you're not going to notice.
I'm going to bring Jason and Tyler and Carl in now. Just your thoughts and reactions on everything that transpired. Start with Jason.
This reminded me, and I'm, again, me being one of the older members of the group. This reminded me of Owen Hart back in Over the Limit 99.
May 99, absolutely.
And, you know, you could tell that Michael Cole was shell-shocked at what happened. Mm-hmm. This was a no BS sort of moment. This was just like, he had to pull it together. And again, you know, we have given Cole a lot of stuff over the years. This is one of those things that you really just want to just say, you know, you do what you had to do. And watching the fact that they had no commentary was a bizarre sort of feel to me, but they had to get through it. And, you know, kudos also for Punk and Cena ending the show with one of the most strongest ending segments in a long time, just to get the crowd off of what happened, you know?
Yeah, that's another angle of it too. And I'll say this for Cole, before, of course, he joined the WWE, if you will, 15 years ago, he was, and he always jokes about the war correspondent line, but he was a CBS radio reporter, an award-winning reporter, and I think he went back to his roots to get through the situation on the air tonight, and for that he is to be commended. Somebody has to be in that spot to let fans of the Kings know what was going on. Not an easy spot at all. Tyler, you know, you're not far from King's old stomping grounds. You live in Kentucky, and Tennessee's right down to the south. What are your thoughts, your feelings, and how you felt when you heard the news?
Well, I mean, yeah, King has a lot of connections here too, is because at the old Louisville Gardens, which hasn't become much of a place for any sort of events now that we've got the fairgrounds and such. A lot of the old, the Memphis Wrestling and the UAWF, I think is what it was.
UWF.
UWF. Yeah. You know, a lot of those territories would also have shows down here. And, you know, Jerry has a lot of Southern connections. And it's not just because I'm from the South. Jerry is, I mean, it was years ago I got enamored and so fascinated by his feud with Andy Kaufman. I've watched the whole thing from front to back, you know, and just how amazing that was. And a lot of people, I don't think, give Lawler the credit because a lot of these younger kids say, he's just a commentator now. But if some of these kids, if some of these kids went back and saw that he had amazing matches. I mean, there was a time when the pile driver was, you know, one of those bad moves. And if you did the pile driver, this was not even kayfabe or anything. If you did the pile driver, you could get, you know, fined and all this other sort of stuff. To where nowadays, you know, they're having shitty storylines where, you know, a kick is now banned. But that's beside the point. Lawler,
Doom, yeah.
Yes, Lawler is a fantastic person, a fantastic wrestler, and that's not, you know, I don't wish ill on any wrestler, whether I like the wrestler, whether I don't, but especially Lawler, because he has a lot of connections to Louisville. He has a lot of, he has a lot of connections to this area, and I just, you don't ever want to wish ill on anybody, especially, you know, somebody like Lawler, who is a Hall of Famer, and, you know, where people see it, like I said, like when CM Punk did the thing where he was like, oh, well, you just wrestled some joke, and the thing is, Lawler's held championships, it just hasn't been in the WWE, and that's where people have the mistake of you saying, well, because he hasn't held every major WWE title, or because, you know, he hasn't held a WWE title in years, that he's not a legend, and that's far from the truth. He's one of the ones who should have had the title on him, no matter what kind. He should have had a major WWE title on him, but unfortunately, I think when he came in, it was sort of, he was getting in his later years, and, you know, they may not have seen a place for him to be in a title spot.
And pretty much, if I remember reading some stories recently put out there correctly, he almost did, he joined the announce table almost last second, and that was in 94 or 95 for an event for a Raw, I think, alongside Vince McMahon. And from there, it turned into 17, 18 years of working commentary. And speaking of which, the thoughts of his longtime broadcast colleague, Jim Ross, are very much those that we are, echoing tonight. Quote, I'm shaken by the news of my friend Jerry Lawler's medical emergency in Montreal. Handshaking, prayers for the king. I feel helpless. I know what you know in regards to Jerry Lawler's medical condition. My dear friend will fight. Please pray for him. We're all hurting. The words of his longtime colleague, Jim Ross, this evening. Carl, your thoughts on the matter?
Had to be one of the... I don't know how to describe it, to be honest with you. Because Tyler can vouch for me. We were in a voice conference while this was going on, and all of a sudden, oh my God, something's wrong here. Because my TV was muted, and all hell just broke loose after that. Tyler can vouch for me there.
Right. A plus B didn't equal C to me until everything came around, and... Let me pass this along to Brett, because this, when you get a story like this, there are people who have things to say that make you say, what the hell, and he's got one of them. Brett, go ahead.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, this just popped up on Twitter a few minutes ago. It comes courtesy of former ECW star New Jack, who is kind of notorious for not having a filter and saying whatever's on his mind. On his official Twitter account, which is, I'm not even going to give him the dignity of throwing it out there. You can find it on your own. But here's the comment that he just read. Just heard about Lawler, and I apologize up front for the expletives, but just heard about Lawler. Fuck that racist motherfucker. Die slow, you fucking cocksucker. If Lawler dies, let me know where his grave is so I can piss on it. Fuck that bitch. End quote.
Wow.
That's mind-numbing. And you listen, I've used for ages, and I've said this to friends of mine, whenever I feel down, I watch a New Jack match, and it makes me smile because I'm cynical and sadistic like that. No more. That's just heartless. That's just unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming, and I know I think New Jack and Lawler had heat. I think. I just didn't realize it was that bad.
Well,
it's known now.
Well, and then we've got the number threes.
Yeah, those on the message boards who continue to say, up, it's a work. No, it's not.
No.
No.
This is what happens when shit gets real, for lack of better terms. Just kind of updating everything, but no new information, I assume, otherwise, Brett. Would that be correct?
No, I haven't seen any other news, but what I do want to say is, I know in times like this, there's so many people, there's so many media outlets out there that are trying to get the leg up on the story and get it out there and, you know, various facets of the story out there to the public. It is disgusting and deplorable of anybody who is in this field who finds it to be at all entertaining, or worth the website traffic to post pictures of a guy who an hour ago most of us probably thought was going to die on national TV. For people to think that it's cool to post pictures of him being stretchered out of an arena, I've already caught a picture of one site, people TMZ. Surrounding Jerry Lawler doing CPR. It's disgusting. It's so deplorable, and it makes me embarrassed to even be involved in a field like this where we do that. But that's so disgusting, and I'm so upset with so many of the things that I've seen posted tonight.
It's
cheap. Yeah.
It's low.
I don't think anybody will disagree with you.
Which is
us.
Why I pretty much have no comment for those people you mentioned.
The only I'll make the comment on your behalf, and I think on everybody's behalf. The sad reality of the world we live in is that the 24-hour news cycle we're in, everybody wants their 15 seconds of fame, not minutes anymore, seconds. And people want to, you know, get the scoop and out-scoop each other, like you say, Brett. I mean, you know this as your site's competitive with other sites. And it comes to getting the freebie, getting the cell phone pick, that, you know, the paparazzi kind of mentality we live in where, you know, Big Brother's always watching, and it's sad. And
Can I actually sort of be a semi-cynical guy here? And I want to ask this. Lawler is going to be gone for a while.
I'd hope. Okay. Well, yeah.
I mean, I'm not talking...
he pulls through this, yes.
Okay. Do you drop the Josh Matthews story, or do you put Matt Stryker in there?
They're not going to put Stryker in, if that's the case. I think that's a given the way television is. They would probably put Matthews in, I would figure. That would be the only thing that makes sense.
They'll put Josh in, and the whole lawsuit thing will just go away.
Like it never even happened.
If it hasn't, yeah.
Well, this begs. Well, you said you were going to be kind of cynical. I'm not going to be cynical at all, although it may come off that way. The timeline of events, and we tried to recount it at the top of this. There's one key thing we forgot. Lawler was in a match, not even an hour before he collapsed. And Nikki and I were talking about this before we started recording. The fact that Lawler was more active in the match than any he had been in quite some time, notwithstanding the Cole matches and various pay-per-views a year plus ago. I mean, I'm of the believer, and, you know, faith being what it is, that when it's your time for some horrible instance to happen with your health, it's your time no matter what you're doing, where you are. That being said, can one make the inference, and I know it's too early to make conclusions, that he may have overexerted himself, causing what might have happened, Nikki?
That's my personal speculation. I'm not pulling that from anywhere. But if you look at any of Lawler's matches over the last 2 or 3 years, there's not a whole lot of running around. There's a little bit of punching and kicking. There's the dramatic lowering of the strap and the fist drop. And we're done. He, you know, he had jumped in the ring to help and then was put into a tag match. He did participate in a good amount of the tag match. Granted, he didn't play face in peril, but, you know, he was out there for a bit. They also had some extracurriculars on the floor. This was a good 10, 12 minutes of the show. Mm-hmm. Most Lawler segments are, what, 6 minutes? 5 minutes?
5 or 6 minutes.
Even there, yeah.
Yeah.
And that includes his entrance. And this comes down to... how should I put this? When people talk about working a match, it's how much you can get the audience to react with as little physical, you know, physicality as possible. And that's how Lawler worked. Mm-hmm. Tonight, he had to be a little more athletic because he had to keep up with Orton, Ziggler, and Punk.
Yeah.
That'd wear anybody out.
Yeah, I mean, and he's been used a lot the last couple of weeks. Of course, the matches with CM Punk, the encounters, I should say, with CM Punk. So it makes you wonder a little bit. just resetting things as we're recording this, it just clicked over to 12:30 Eastern. I know when you're listening to it, it's a different time, maybe even a different day on and what have you. That's the downside with podcasting, I guess. But Jerry the King Lawler collapsed about 10 p.m. Eastern time at the Bell Center in Montreal. And it is being reported by Brian Alvarez of the Wrestling Observer that the staffers and superstars and what have you in the back were being told that Lawler had suffered a heart attack. He is currently in stable condition in a nearby Montreal hospital. It is he's still awaiting a CT scan both on his chest and on his head, but he is alert in that he is breathing on his own. His heart is beating on its own as of last report in the last few minutes. And it's Jim Williams with Nikki Heyman from the NAWC, Brett Clendaniel, kind enough to join us from WrestleChat when as he's getting the news and trying to find as much information as possible. And we thank you, Brett. Jason Block here, Tyler Brown, and Carl Schneer. Mind-numbing stuff, guys. Mind-numbing stuff. I don't know what else to ask. Brett, anything you want to add on the situation?
Just absolutely crazy for Brett the Hitman Hart. You know, here he is 12 years removed from the nasty injury that ended wrestling for him and the stroke that he had afterwards. You know, to return on what should be a joyous night, also Pat Patterson Appreciation Night, for this to happen, it's just awful. Just awful.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, was canceled.
Yes. That was indeed canceled, and well, they said initially postponed, but then obviously canceled. Matter of fact, it was announced by Justin Roberts between commercials, between the second to last and last segments, that would be postponed. So the folks in the arena obviously knew what happened because they saw Lawler go down. I don't know that they got the updates the way we did. I don't know if they put Cole on the Titantron or anything, but of course, in this day and age with Twitter and what have you, I'm sure many of the fans found out.
Judging from the audio, the way the audio was coming across, I honestly don't think any of Cole's announcements made it into the arena. But you're right; it probably came through. Anybody who had their phone handy was catching it on Twitter. Was catching it through, you know, who knows? Maybe even the app, because I'm
social
sure
networking. Social networking.
Yeah. Yeah, especially the way they put close-up shots on Cole.
Well, that and the other aspect of it is, you know, wrestling.
They did push the social networking a little bit tonight, which felt a little wrong. But hey, you know.
Well, yeah, they pushed it pretty much. Well, before the incident happened, really. Not so much after, obviously.
How crazy and surreal was it for all of you guys to? I mean, for me, it was mind-numbing. To watch the last 30 minutes or so of Raw with absolutely no commentary was beyond strange.
I'll go further, Brett, because I'll be honest. I almost didn't want to watch, but I had to watch just to hear if there was any improvement with Lawler. I had that, like Jason said earlier, that surreal feeling of 1999. And I remember watching that pay-per-view with my dad and both of us, hearing JR mention that no one had died, and honestly, the way things were looking, I was fearing that might be the case still. Like, granted, Lawler isn't out of the woods yet because of the complications, but thoughts and prayers to him, obviously, and to all those who love the King, as we record this on early Tuesday morning, late Monday night, as the case may be. Reactions otherwise, like seeing that those final, let's say, 45 minutes to an hour of Raw, no commentary, and pretty much dead silence, for lack of better terms. Tyler?
It was so, like, I don't even know how to explain it. It was just, you knew something was terribly wrong because, you know, Cole split off from his, you know, his persona and got into, I'm Michael Cole, the person who cares about people, as opposed to, you know, the jackass that a lot of people come to hate.
The character.
It was this feeling in my heart that I just knew, and this is not to be morbid or anything like that, that I knew that we'd end up with either the end of Raw or the beginning of SmackDown, beginning with a tribute to Jerry Lawler, because it was just that feeling, because, you know, it was, you know, the awkward silence and you know, Cole was in several shots. You could see him kind of crying off screen. You could tell his voice was breaking up a little bit. And yeah. It was like, no, not again. I mean, celebrities, you know, whatever. But, I mean, somebody like Jerry Lawler, I mean, really, it's just...
It's mind-numbing. Carl, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm with Tyler. I didn't know what to think, and I was thinking the worst, too. Kind of eerie, that eerie feeling that you get in the pit of your stomach. We'll just keep hoping and praying that he's going to be okay.
It's all one can do at this point, and many of his colleagues, past and present, have taken to social networking to make their thoughts be known. Matt Hardy, of course, now a former WWE superstar, just heard the news about Lawler's health scare. He's in my thoughts, and my fingers are crossed for him. Shawn Michaels, I just heard about Jerry Lawler. Time for prayer, everybody. We're here for you, King. God bless. Todd Grisham, who worked with Jerry as an announcer. Jerry Lawler was one of the nicest people I worked with at WWE. A great guy and good friend. I hope he pulls through okay. My prayers are with him. Mick Foley, hang in there, King, pulling and praying for Jerry Lawler. We often joke about the Iron Sheik, and he keeps it real. God bless the Jerry Lawler. I love him forever. So it's surreal. And when he was taken out during that match, fans were chanting, Jerry, Jerry. I had my TV not on mute, but relatively low, so I was wondering what the hell that was about, because I wasn't listening to the commentary and then rewatching the segment. Just kind of mind-numbing. Pretty much the bare bones of this is, you know, Jerry Lawler, bad off. He's breathing. He has a heartbeat, waiting on a CAT scan. Obviously, nothing new will be given out probably in the course of the next couple of hours. It'll take some time. Brett, you're going to be monitoring this seemingly nonstop. I do not envy your position having to follow this news. And you'll have it at WrestleChat.net and on Twitter. Give the Twitter account address again.
At WrestleChat.net, all one word. And, yeah, I'll probably be up for a little while taking care of this.
Yeah. Nikki just sent me a picture of the ringside area where Michael Cole's just literally hand-to-head and crying over...
And here's the thing, you know, as we said earlier, you know, we gave, you know, we have given Cole a lot of grief over the last 3 years, pretty much in this show. This is one of these nights where, you know, you just have to say that that Cole did an amazing job of actually trying to convey everything. There were a couple of times where he did venture into promo mode, you know, with the whole social networking thing. But when, you know, when you don't know what's going on, and when you saw your friend, and, you know, in the kayfabe world, they're best friends. You know, they really are. And when you have something like that, and when you see your best friend collapse on there, you don't know what to do. And it probably Vince is screaming in his ear, trying to get what's going on, I'm guessing. So to keep it under control like that is a pretty professional move to make.
And at the same time, not to shock the audience on television and disrupt the flow of things. There were so many different things to be put in a delicate balance for Michael Cole. And, you know, nobody envies him. And he handled it remarkably. And I don't want to say he gets a permanent pass, the character, but the person gets a permanent pass as far as we're concerned. He handled it as best as can be. I mean, you know, I wouldn't expect Jim Ross to handle it any better or worse. So, you know, again, it goes back to his days of reporting. Brett's got something more on the New Jack issue in regards to him opening up mouth and inserting foot. Go ahead, Brett.
Yeah, this is actually exclusive. This hasn't even gone on my website yet. That'll be up there shortly. This comes from an inside source that actually worked with New Jack at the time in ECW. when Jerry the King Lawler made his little debut there, had a little run there in the late 90s with Tommy Dreamer. And
96, 97, yeah.
Yeah, that time frame there. Apparently there was some backstage politics. At one point, Lawler was supposed to, during a show, was supposed to make an appearance that was going to end up with him going through a few of the lower-tiered wrestlers on the ECW roster, and was supposed to end with Jerry Lawler getting beat up by New Jack with some various weapons that Lawler adamantly ended up did not want to go through with. He felt that New Jack was an unsafe worker. He thought he was unprofessional. And apparently there's been some heat ever since then. And it looks like it's, you know, been held on by New Jack for 15 years now. So that's exclusive. I just got that via text message within the last minute. And, still some ill will there on New Jack's part.
Good yeah, grief.
To which we say petty bullshit. Yeah.
Yes.
Just Jesus Christmas. It's mind-numbing. One other piece of news in regards to the whole Lawler thing that we didn't really touch on. Over the weekend, and you know, many wrestlers do on the side some independent, you know, stuff. Lawler was doing independent stuff. He was with Velvet Sky, among others, down in Aruba, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm. With Ronnie Piper, too. With Piper's Pit.
Yeah. They did a Piper's Pit segment in Aruba for an independent production or promotion of some sort. And Velvet Sky tweeting this evening that Jerry seemed like he was in perfect health then. So it's a shock to her as it is to all of us, what's been going on. A guy who, and Tyler mentioned all the championships he won. I mean, the New York Post, among other mass media outlets on this, and they mentioned that in the course of his 40 plus years in wrestling, the man won 168 different championships. But he never won a WWE. Shut up. I mean, you know, he
whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a okay? legend. He's a legend. He is one of those people.
He's Memphis wrestling. He's Mid-South wrestling. And he's one of the greats of all time. Enough said.
Yes, by the way, nice picture, Nikki, that you sent.
Yeah, I had to put that up there. Mm-hmm. I also have another note for those who like to watch for the minutiae. If you go back and watch this particular match, something that I didn't catch, and I was just reading somebody else's notes about it, that there's a spot about a minute or two after Lawler collapses that Charles Robinson had gone to check on Darren Young as the tag match progressed and told him to stretch, to stall a bit.
Just so they could get everything done out of the way.
Yeah.
Again, kind of catering to the TV audience. Well, not just to the TV audience, but the condition of the well-being of Lawler, but also secondarily to the TV audience, so it didn't seem as awkward or loss mm-hmm. of flow. I mean, and I keep bringing up the TV audience, and I keep bringing up how Cole handled it. Those are all secondary, obviously, to the condition of Lawler. Don't misunderstand me when I bring these things up. But these are all also aspects that I feel should be covered when we talk about what happened. You know, it's mind-numbing. I mean, when I heard the news, when I saw Cole give the first announcement, not unlike JR, I was just kind of numbed, kind of shaking. I mean, this is a guy, and Brett will vouch, and Jason will really vouch, being the statesman among us. This is a guy who, in some way, shape, or form, has been on our TVs most of our lives, who, if you're a wrestling fan, and since you're listening to this, you are a wrestling fan. And to see somebody who's in there week after week, month after month, year after year, it becomes like a part of your family. And to see something like this happen is just mind-numbing. There's not much else really we can go on with this. Just go around the table for some final thoughts here. Start with Tyler.
You know, I can only wish Lawler the best, and hopefully by morning we'll find out that, what exactly is going on with him. I mean, maybe it's just the wear and tear of his body after, you know, how many years in the wrestling business?
Over 40.
Yeah, I mean, it's it'll age a young 20-something into about a 40 or 50-something in several years. So,
yeah.
The wrestling business is a very tough business. But, I mean, fortunately, you know, as the years have progressed, Lawler has basically, for the most part, stayed at the table. And but the traveling can be just as bad on him. But I think, honestly, that hopefully by morning we'll at least hear that, you know, he's doing very well and may hopefully maybe on his way back home to go home and rest and get himself back together before he comes on TV. Because there's no reason for him to be in any rush to come back to TV. He needs to rest first. And I know Vince will give him that time to say, look, you know, we understand. You go home. Take care of yourself. Don't take bookings. Don't do anything silly like that. Stay home and rest. And then come back whenever you're fully 100% healed.
Carl?
Yeah, at this point, we still don't know exactly what the cause of this is. So have to see within the next day or two what's really going on with him. Just keep thinking and praying for him. That's all you really can do.
Absolutely. Jason Block.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy who, as I said before, is a legend. This is a guy who's been around the business. You know, you put him in to, you know, the same level of, you know, the Ric Flairs, the Roddy Pipers, you know, the old school guys who went through the wars, who, you understand, who didn't necessarily take care of his body as much as, you know, some of the younger guys did. And mm-hmm. the fact that, you know, he is unfortunately in this position right now is a very sad thing. I just wish him well, and I just hope we do not get the situation that we're all so used to these days.
Touche, my friend. Touche. Nikki?
Well, you know, thoughts and prayers and my fingers crossed for Lawler. And I've got enormous respect for Cole.
Uh-huh.
For still calling the match with his buddy passed out on the floor. I don't know if I could have done that.
I know I couldn't have. Straight up, I just screw everything, you know, screw a job, you know.
Holy cow. Brett, you just posted something on your Twitter. Try this. May I report it? Brett?
Go for it.
According to wrestling news source, brother of Bret Hart, Smith, says Lawler was clinically dead for 20 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Wow. That's mind-numbing. That's, again, a Twitter account, a Twitter report from WN source on Twitter, retweeted by WrestleChat.net. Wow. Mind-numbing stuff. Mind-numbing stuff.
And somebody that I'm, just for a grin, I did look at there is a thread just about Lawler on the fan boards. And a few people said that Lawler was lucky that what happened to him happened where it did. Since they have EMTs right there at ringside, they probably saved his life.
If he survives this, you're absolutely right. I mean, it could have happened on the road. It could have happened at home. And the result would definitely be a lot, would definitively be more dire, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Brett, any final thoughts you want to give to the matter?
Yes, actually, there's a few things. First off, Rob Feinstein of RF Video, who also worked for ECW, just actually on Facebook released a statement that this statement right here, I'll read it. This comes from Jerry Lawler's current girlfriend. Says, thanks everyone for your thoughts and prayers. It has been confirmed that Jerry did have a heart attack. He is in stable condition and breathing on his own, and his heart is stable. I'm getting on the first flight out of here to be with him, and we'll keep everyone posted. He is a strong man, and we will get him back at his best as soon as I get home. I love you so much, baby. And he also, she also says that is a joint statement with Lawler's son, Brian Christopher. So that statement just came out from Lawler's girlfriend. My personal feelings, just to touch on a few things that other people said, like Nikki said, major kudos to Michael Cole. He was an absolute professional tonight with the way he handled himself and kept going through the show. I know a lot of people are bringing up the Owen Hart situation from 1999. I'm actually going to go back a little further. This to me, even though it ended up being a scripted at the time afterwards, but And this brought me back to the Shawn Michaels incident from 1995 where he collapsed in the ring, and that's the kind of vibe I had. I kind of just I was expecting bad news as the night went on that I'm glad we didn't get. With that said, Lawler's a terrific guy. Like you said, so many of us have grown up watching him, and outside of the ring, I have never in my life heard somebody say, whether they met Lawler at a signing, an indie show, I've never heard somebody say something bad about Jerry Lawler. He always takes time with his fans, and he's an absolute professional. He's a great guy, and I pray that he pulls through this. And Tommy Dreamer just put a tweet up that I think is so fitting, and this is how I'll end it. Tommy Dreamer tweeted, "Going to bed, but I look forward to tomorrow, waking up and hearing about how Jerry Lawler pulled the strap down and blew an amazing comeback."
Well said. Well said, Brett. Well said, Tommy Dreamer. You don't have to be a wrestling fan to hope and pray for the King, but if you're one who's enjoying his form of entertainment, whether it be in the ring, at the announce table, yelling, "Puppies! Puppies!" Or any of the other funny things he said over the years. I'm trying to line this as best I can. I apologize.
Well, I remember Kane giving a girl a Valentine heart. It was still beating.
Oh, well. and
I'm sorry. Oh, my God. I just realized what I did. I am so sorry.
Well, no. But you know what? I'll bring it back full circle. The parallel is, at this hour, his heart is still beating. And as many will tell you, not just the championship belt he's had, he has the heart of a champion. One of the good people, despite what New Jack will tell you, one of the good people in the industry. Our thoughts and prayers with Jerry the King Lawler, his family, his colleagues, and all who respect and admire him. Pull through this, King. Give it the old pile driver. You've got a lot more matches in you, both at the table and even in the ring. Follow the story throughout the week at WrestleChat.net and on Twitter, twitter.com/WrestleChatNet. Brett's on this like white on rice, as they say. He's not going to steer you wrong, and he's not going to go for the cheap pop like certain other tabloid sites are. Brett will steer you in the right direction. Thanks on short notice to Nikki. Oh, one. I'm sorry, Brett, go ahead. One more update. Go ahead.
Yeah, this following update, this comes courtesy of Arta Ocal of the Score, who is actually at tonight's event. And Ocal just tweeted that he is hearing from multiple sources that Lawler was indeed completely gone, and he was revived via CPR. It is confirmed to be a heart attack. And Ocal is saying that many people backstage are being told Lawler is completely alert, and you can't even tell that it happened.
Wow.
That's unbelievable. That's, you know what? It's the miracle of modern science is what it is, folks. That's what it is, because, I mean, if this happened 10 or 15 years ago, but like 20, 25 years ago, he'd be a goner. He'd be an absolute goner. And in this day and age with, you know, people knowing CPR and having medical, you know, emergency staffs on site everywhere they go, you know, that saved him. If he pulls through, that absolutely saved him. It's unbelievable. It's miraculous in many respects. Again, as I was saying, WrestleChat.net and WrestleChatNet on Twitter, they'll cover the story as best they can over the course of the next few hours and days. We obviously will have a lot to say about this on the North American Wrestling Connection, recorded Friday night, uploaded on Saturday at CLW83.com. Thanks to Brett. Get back on the news lines. Get back on the phones if you have to, brother. You know, get a cup of coffee, you know, what have you. Thanks again for your time. Thanks to Jason, to Nikki, to Tyler, to Carl. I'm Jim Williams. This special podcast presented by WrestleChat.net and the CLW83 Network. Thank you so much for listening. King, we're praying for you.
Pull through, man.
Good afternoon or evening, whenever you may be listening to this, along with Brett Clendaniel from WrestleChat.net and Benny Lopez. I'm Jim Williams for CLW83.com and WrestleChat.net. We are following up on our original podcast from late Monday night, early Tuesday morning, in regards to an update on the condition of Jerry Lawler. We'll backtrack a little bit very quickly before we give you the latest details as of the 3:30 time that we're recording this on the East Coast, Tuesday afternoon, the 11th of September, 2012. Jerry Lawler sustained, he suffered a heart attack during Raw in Montreal Monday night around 10 p.m. Eastern time while doing commentary with Michael Cole. And he received the necessary medical treatment, first response essentially from the WWE medical staff. And CPR was administered backstage. He was actually clinically dead, as we found out late in the last podcast, about 12:30 in the evening last night. We found out he was clinically dead for something like 20 minutes at one point backstage. He was revived. He was taken to an area hospital. We found out since that the Bell Center is located about in such a place where there are no fewer than a half dozen hospitals within 15 miles radius of the arena, which is a good thing to say the least. He was taken to the hospital, alert, responsive, in serious but stable condition. As the news has warranted, we decided to give you a full update on things as of this afternoon, and I bring in Brett Clendaniel for that. What is the latest?
Well, the latest news, this is as of about 12:30 this afternoon, WWE.com posted an official update reporting that Jerry Lawler is in a cardiac care unit and all of his vital signs are stable, and pretty much they were wishing him a speedy recovery. So that's what it looks like. He did have a heart surgery, or an angioplasty is the correct term for it. He had an artery that was 98% blocked. So to put this in the perspective, I mean, it's already crazy to think that Jerry Lawler, or anybody for that matter, was clinically dead for 20 minutes and was revived. That in itself is amazing. So now look at this and get this information that Lawler had an artery 98% blocked and to still be revived is absolutely incredible. It's a miracle. I mean, there's truly nothing. It's just an absolute miracle.
It absolutely is, Brett. No two ways around it. It's just, it was not his time. I think that's the safest way to put it. It seems like it was not his time. Let's not underestimate the fact that he's by no means out of the woods yet. The recovery process can be a daunting one. I've had relatives in my family who have had similar procedures over the years. And this is a procedure that, while I don't want to say it's routine, it has become more routine in the last 5 or 10 years. Put it to you this way, my granddad had a situation at a procedure like this and didn't make it, but that was back in 1993. We've come a long way with modern science and technology and minimal invasive, this, then, the other in 20 years. So the recovery rates are a lot better in this day and age with this kind of procedure. So there's plenty of hope and a certain level of optimism that Lawler can make somewhat of a recovery, which is a positive.
Absolutely. I spoke with a Twitter follower earlier, pretty courageous. He's 39 years old, a really young guy, and actually had an angioplasty just 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. Said he went through the procedure and that he was pretty much back up and on his feet and normal within a few weeks, within about a month. He said he felt pretty fine. However, I want to stress caution to all the listeners and anybody out there that reads WrestleChat.net. You know, Jerry Lawler, by being declared quote unquote clinically dead for close to 20 minutes, you're looking at no oxygen to the brain. So while this is a routine angioplasty, we also need to keep in mind that, it's going to be some time before we see how recovered Jerry Lawler is truly going to be. You know, there could be some long lasting effects of being gone that long and not having oxygen and blood flowing properly from your body. So
obviously,
we'll see what happens.
Obviously, brain damage is also a paramount concern. I mean, no oxygen to the brain and the cells just die on their own at a rapid rate. Let's bring in Benny Lopez, who has been a contributor to WrestleChat for some time. And Benny, your thoughts, your analysis of this all?
Pretty much the same thing you guys were saying. Is just all very surreal watching it happen, you know, that uneasy feeling, not knowing what was going on. You guys mentioned, you know, even, you know, I guess the entire surgery may be a routine deal nowadays. You know, it's something that's been done and been, I guess the process has gotten better and better. But, you know, really, you know, it comes down to the timing, you know, like just the quickness that those EMTs got out there and were able to assess the situation and get Lawler to the back and continue to work on him. You know, that to me is a real story right there. And that speaks a lot to the staffing that they have there, just the whole EMT service that they had there, to think quickly on their feet. Like, it was probably a matter of seconds, you know, that all of this happened. And mm-hmm. to respond so quickly, that really was probably the biggest contributing factor that Jerry Lawler is even alive at this moment.
Benny, if you don't mind me asking, who did you watch Raw with last night? Were you by yourself, or?
I was with my girlfriend Jackie watching it, and we actually watched it on a delay. So, you know, we were recording it and we were watching it through DVR. So I actually, you know, while watching Raw, I periodically still on WrestleChat and seeing the news. So I was able to kind of, you know, see what was going to happen before it happened. And even still, it was just unbelievable to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I bring that up for a reason, because I do know that Jackie is pretty new to the wrestling business. And, you know, obviously us three have lived through things such as, you know, Shawn Michaels collapsing in the ring, even though it was an angle that we found out afterward. We lived through that. Mm-hmm. We lived through Owen Hart passing away at Over the Edge 1999. How was it? Explain to us how it was for somebody who's never really seen something like this before on a live wrestling event. Just explain kind of how she reacted to that.
Well, it's unnerving, you know, especially there were so many questions at the moment and no answers. It was a real unnerving moment just kind of watching it. You know, before it happened, you know, I directed it to the website as well. So we both kind of read the article before we actually got to the moment on Raw where it happened. So, you know, at least that, you know, that kind of took probably the shock out of it. You know, it was a little different than, you know, the Owen Hart incident and other incidents of that nature. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and during this time, you know, that, you know, I kind of brought up that kind of history as well, you know, and I've seen specifically, you know, on Twitter, because I was on there at the time, a few people questioning, you know, WWE continuing with the show, and that's an entire discussion in itself. But just kind of explaining to her, you know, how this has been handled in the past. And, you know, I think, you know, at least from my explanation, she kind of understood, you know, what was going on. But it was definitely, it was uneasy, for sure.
Yeah, and you know what, you bring up the aspect of should the show have continued on. There's been conflicting reports, obviously, with you know, the mass hysteria of what happened last night. It was initially tweeted that there were considerations to stop the show, but Brett, you found out otherwise as of this point.
Yeah, it looks like the guys from the Wrestling Observer, who actually this morning were the first ones to report that there were serious considerations of scrapping the rest of the show last night. What would have gone on in its place, I have no idea, but they were the initial ones to go ahead and report that. Just a few minutes ago, about 2:50 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, they updated it and said that, contrary to speculation, that there was never any talk to halting the show. And something else that they say that also conflicts something that they initially reported earlier was that Vince McMahon was not at Jerry Lawler's side during the entire time. He did briefly check on Lawler backstage during a commercial break, but he ended up going back to his producing duties in the gorilla position. And it was actually Triple H who stayed by Lawler's side for most of the time.
And obviously, with everything that's been going on, there's going to be lots of misinformation here and there. And it's not a job I envy you or any website person to handle, to sift through what is right, what is wrong. And it's all going to be back and forth on some details. But the most important details are the health condition of Jerry Lawler. And again, he is in stable but serious condition in a cardiac intensive care unit in Montreal as we speak at this hour of recording at 3:40 in the afternoon, Tuesday afternoon, uploading whenever, sometime after 5, I guess, on CLWAD3.com and WrestleChat.net. You've opened up the forums on Twitter to people who want to ask questions to us, and we have one from Ray the Rambler. And, of course, remember, there are many tiers to this story. Of course, the most important, Lawler's health and well-being. But let's talk about the TV product for a moment. The question asked by Ray the Rambler, if Lawler cannot announce again, who should take his place alongside Cole? An interesting question. Benny, what do you think?
You know, it's a very good question, especially being that Raw is a flagship vehicle for the WWE. You know, definitely, I'd have to go bringing another wrestler in. You know, it just seems fitting. I know I read before, on WrestleChat.net, there were talks of JBL maybe reprising the role as a commentator. I think somebody like that would fit in perfectly for that. I don't quite see Josh or anybody on the SmackDown side really coming over and pulling it off. So I would think somebody like a JBL would probably be fitting, I guess, for what Raw is, to be a commentator.
Wrestling King Ray also asking in the same vein if, excuse me, if there have been names kicked around to replace him. Brett, what do you think?
I think I would just have to agree with Benny at this point. I really like that idea of JBL. I didn't think of it. I think in the interim, they're probably going to have to go in-house until they can hammer out full details with JBL. I don't really want it to be Josh Matthews. I'm kind of hoping that if it's anybody, it'll be Matt Stryker. I enjoy Matt Stryker.
Likewise.
So that would be my choice.
And I like Josh Matthews too, but I think he's stronger as a play-by-play guy on the SmackDown brand. And, you know, I'd want Matt Stryker to get a crack again at being an analyst because, yeah, okay, sometimes the historical aspect, he was a little bit off with his facts, but he was one of us. He was a fan at the table, and that's something I always respect about him. And it'd be horrible if this was the circumstance it took to get him back to the table, but, I think they're going to put in Matthews temporarily. You might even see Jim Ross called back on a temporary basis, but I think Benny's on the right line. This, if anything, should expedite the process of getting JBL to the table because he and Cole had a chemistry for the time they were announcing SmackDown and pay-per-views in the mid-2000s. So one other aspect of this all, there is an event that is SmackDown is going on as far as I know, correct? No changing to the taping or what have you tonight at the SmackDown taping, right, Brett?
No, not at all. It looks like it's going to go on as planned, especially with Jerry's condition. As we've already mentioned, Jerry Lawler did go through an angioplasty earlier today. He had 3 stents put in, and a balloon was also put in as well to open up the airway and the vein. And all of that was done within about 3 or 4 hours of the initial heart attack. And I want to clarify really fast. I just put a tweet out a few minutes ago asking for questions for us, and the response has been fantastic. We're getting a lot of tweets with questions, but a lot of them are asking for specifics as far as maybe how long Lawler will be out of action, things like that. You know, medical type questions that we really don't have answers to at the moment. But I did just want to mention that just so that all the people that are asking, you know, we do appreciate all the tweets. We appreciate all the questions. As far as how long he'll be out, if he's woken up, rehabilitation, things like that. These are just some of the questions that we're getting asked on Twitter right now. We really do not have information on that right now. What we can tell you is Lawler is alert. He's responding to light. He's responding to voice, but he is not talking, and that's kind of where we're at the minute.
It's a fine line, this whole situation, because it's not just, as you mentioned earlier, it's not just that he had a heart attack. He was clinically dead from reports for a prolonged period of time. So again, brain damage probably, occurred. There's no doubt in my mind. There's a very real possibility should he recover, and he should make as close to a full recovery as possible, he may never come back to the announce table again. It's conceivable. So, I wish as much as anybody else that we could have more answers, but we're trying to get the news in as much as possible. Jesse the Ace on Twitter chiming in, and this is a good question. Lawler's 62 years of age, and he wrestled not even an hour before the heart attack. And we talked a little bit about this in the first podcast we did several hours back. And I'll go to Benny first, then to Brett on this. The question from Jesse the Ace: matches, physical segments, and do you think WWE by any chance after this imposes an age limit?
I don't believe that. I believe this was just a pure coincidence. Many people, will tell you, and it's been well talked about. You know, Jerry Lawler, you know, out of most wrestlers and his age and his time that he wrestled, you know, he took pretty good care of himself. You know, he's not a drinker, he's not a smoker. You know, that's always kind of been known about Jerry Lawler. But you know, this is just something that happened. You know, maybe he doesn't eat right. You know, it happened. This is just something that caught up to him. You look at somebody, you know, some of the wrestlers that have wrestled past that age, you know, like your Hulk Hogan's and your Ric Flair's, and look at Sting, you know, there is an argument for them not to be wrestling at that age, but this is just something that happened. I doubt there'll be anything as far as like an age restriction. You know, they may be, I guess, more proactive and maybe getting a lot more health screenings, you know, with his arteries being blocked 98%, that's something that should have been caught sooner. Maybe some more health checks will be encouraged, I'd imagine. But I doubt to see them place any kind of restriction on age. Nothing that they probably wouldn't have in place now.
And Brett's just private messaging me that we kind of botched up a little bit of what was said. The actual question pretty much is it true Jerry was clinically dead for about 20 minutes, and do you think WWE will now cut down on older guys working matches and physical segments? And do you think they impose the age limit? Brett, your thoughts on the questions posed by the follower Jesse the Ace on Twitter.
First off, thanks, Jesse, for tweeting in the question. And Jesse also actually just added another part of that, asking on the latest word on Jerry Lawler and any word on the mood of the SmackDown crew. And I will actually have an exclusive update on that in 1 second. But based off of his first questions, you know, I really can't see any sort of age limit being enacted or put into place or anything like that. Like Benny said, this is one of those things that you can be 80 in this day and age, you can be 30. And something like this, if it's going to happen, is going to happen. You know, we don't know what type of medications or medical history Lawler has. We don't know, like Benny said, what his diet consists of. There's so many things that go into this. You know, nothing would have prevented this. If anything, I hope that this is an eye-opener for some of the guys older than Jerry Lawler that are still wrestling week in and week out, or maybe, you know, in his age range. You know, you look at guys that pop into my head are like Ric Flair. Mm-hmm. You know, Ric Flair is one of those guys whenever I watch him wrestle, I immediately get flashbacks of Mickey Rourke and the wrestling.
Yeah.
It seems like one of those things. And I hope this is an eye-opener for some of those guys. And one thing that I would like to see come of this is I would like to see some pretty you know, maybe do some more in-depth wellness testing. Maybe some kind of, I'm sure there's a physical exam annually or biannually that's probably in that agreement where every wrestler needs to go through that. But maybe we need something a little more, something that actually gets more in-depth and is actually checking for symptoms and warning signs. If you have an artery 98% of the way blocked, this is something that should be picked up on in a routine exam.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the other aspects of this that is kind of a frightening thing, but also something that all of us can take heart in and keep in our minds. You know, we always watch the occasional TV show, the drama show. Hell, wrestling's a drama. Let's not kid ourselves. It's the male version of a soap opera. And you always see those episodes, those special episodes of TV shows or special movies where somebody looks like they're having a heart attack. And it's, you know, you can feel the pain. You can see them going down in a heap. And the way Lawler had his heart attack, it was seemingly, yeah, a lot different than what you see portrayed in television and movies. And to see how that happened and went down, it's something that sticks in my mind, and I'll be honest, personally relating to it, though I didn't see my dad collapse before he passed away, It was akin to seeing my dad lying motionless on the floor when my father, I should backstep a second, passed away suddenly at home. And it was something very similar. And it's all about timing, and credit again to the staff and to Michael Cole for alerting people. Get over here, we need help, while not going in all panic mode on the headset, which is incredibly tough to do. But something can be learned from this. Something can be learned from this. Something can be gathered from this as a whole. Quick reset here with Benny Lopez and Brecklin Daniel from WrestleChat.net. I'm Jim Williams. A special update to our earlier podcast talking about Jerry Lawler's condition. As far as we know, everything's going on for SmackDown tonight, the taping, which will air on Friday. Obviously, the mood definitely different. And Brett, you're going to have an update on that in a second, I believe.
Yeah, I can actually tell you this comes directly from a person on the roster that there is a meeting scheduled for 4:30 p.m. that will take place prior to tonight's SmackDown taping. They will be briefed on Lawler's situation. From what I understand, there are also counselors that are going to be available for any of the talent tonight. If for whatever reason any of them want to talk about this, they will have that available as well. So there is going to be a backstage meeting in a little over 40 minutes from time of recording, 3:52 right now on the East Coast. And so that's going to happen before SmackDown.
It's the hardest thing in the world, but as those in the industry will say, the best thing one can do is to let the show go on. And you think back to the situation with Owen Hart, and you know, rightly or wrongly, the show continued. And you think back to Monday night, and the show continued. It's not a task I would want on anybody's head or anybody's plate. It's tough. It's tough to stomach.
Yeah. You know, I saw Benny get into he was going back and forth a little bit last night with somebody on Twitter regarding the show going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, Benny, bring that up a little bit.
Benny, what is your opinion on that? I mean, do you think that the WWE made the correct call with going on with the show as it is? And
I think WWE handled it as well as anybody could have possibly handled it. I thought it was the professional courtesy from Cole, the no commentary, as awkward as the no commentary thing was. For the fans watching, I thought that was a very professional move. I thought it was very respectful. The updates, you know, and when they had updates, they let the fans know. But, you know, the WWE, you know, Monday Night Raw, like, it's a moving vehicle, you know. It can't just stop on a dime. And a lot of people, you know, were upset about that. But, you know, my question is, you know, if they were to stop this, you know, if they were to stop the show, what would anybody suggest that they do instead? You know, and that's not an easy answer that anybody, no one actually has given me an answer. You know, they could throw up, you know, I read an article actually right before I got on here, and, you know, with somebody again, you know, arguing the fact that the show should have been canceled and they could have put up old tapes and did interviews with, you know, wrestlers there and stuff like that. And honestly, I think with that type of situation, I thought what they did was best. I thought, you know, we got to remember, you know, WWE is a kid television show, you know, first and foremost. You know, they were 2 hours into a 3-hour broadcast. This is a kid television show. The last thing I know, if I'm a parent, last thing I want my kids watching, you know, I'd let them probably watch Raw and not think anything of it. I don't need them watching it and hearing, you know, stories of how Jerry Lawler might be dead right now, you know? I think that was the best course of action was to continue. You know, you're gonna keep us updated, and they did, you know, with the positive, you know, feedback of what was going on and things of that nature, and that was perfect. And then they kept the show going kind of as a way to almost get your mind off it, even though, you know, for us older fans, it was, you know, our mind wasn't going to get off of it. But I'm sure if we were interviewing a 10-year-old kid who watched Raw, you know, that probably did help them get off of it. And they probably will tell you about how awesome Cena was at the end of the night. And, you know, maybe not think about the Jerry Lawler thing as much. You know, it's a serious situation because we're adults and we understand it. But the product isn't geared to us. And, I honestly think the way they handled it was with class. I thought it was respectful, and I think, like I said, there's just no way that they could have just stopped the show. You know, there's thousands of people in attendance. You would have had to give them a refund. You know, that's an hour of their show. We all know the card is subject to change, but that's something. You know, you're taking them out an hour early to, and it's just, it wouldn't be fair to the people in attendance. And obviously, the people in attendance, you know, if you listen to them, yeah, they were a little off, but they were back into it by the end of the night. And to me, you know what I mean? It, canceling the show halfway through, it just doesn't seem like an option, you know. And hey, anybody who watches UFC, you know, look at the mayhem that caused canceling a show, you know, weeks out. You know, imagine if a show got canceled in the middle. It's just, it's crazy talk.
Yeah. We're getting this actually came up this morning on the Baltimore Sun's website, their blog called Ring Posts. Writer, and I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly, Arda Ocal, also with The Score, was actually there during the event last night. I'm going to read verbatim here some of the excerpts, because Arda was at the Bell Center in Montreal when Lawler suffered the heart attack. Quoting him here, "After Lawler had already competed in a tag team contest on Raw, he was performing his usual commentary duties with Michael Cole. During a tag team match between the Primetime Players and Daniel Bryan and Kane, I looked over to the broadcast table and saw Jerry Lawler hunched over, beginning to shake. It looked like he was choking. Then suddenly he collapsed from his chair. Michael Cole was quickly flicking his hand clockwise as if to say to the cameraman nearby to get away and get help. EMTs came to check on Lawler. Confusion set in among the fans in attendance. The match in the ring completely being ignored. Lawler was then carried out by several EMTs backstage. I have heard from several sources that the backstage area was cleared for EMTs to attend to Lawler. Initially, before seeing Lawler carted on a stretcher, many backstage thought a fight had escalated in the arena." Trying to fast forward to a couple of other points here, but that gives you just an idea of kind of the chain of command that happened during the horrific occurrences of that evening. Anything new as we get ready to wrap this up for obviously various concerns? Well, hold on. Well, I'll let you go, Brett, because I'm trying to find something here as well. And I think the various stations, believe it or not, out of Memphis, Tennessee, are really reporting this big time. Of course, Memphis, the home base for Jerry Lawler for so many, many years. He and Memphis Wrestling, one and the same. Go ahead, Brett.
Yeah, this story was picked up everywhere. I mean, CNN, Fox News, all the big stations have picked this up and were reporting it throughout the day and last night. As of right now, this is the absolute latest we have on Jerry Lawler. He is in stable condition at a hospital. He is in cardiac ICU in a Montreal hospital. That's what it is at the moment. He is recovering from an angioplasty that took care of an artery that was 98% blocked. As far as the WWE roster goes, as we just said, there is a complete roster meeting at 4:30 p.m. backstage for the entire SmackDown crew. The text actually says that they will be briefed on Lawler's condition, counselors available. So obviously there's some people still shaken, as one report said earlier, also via the Wrestling Observer, where that there were actually prayer circles. A lot of stars praying together last night for Lawler. And, you know, just kudos to the WWE from top to bottom, from Vince McMahon and Triple H for making the calls to keep the show going and for, you know, keeping order backstage. Michael Cole for a fantastic job, you know, with his best friend, one of his good friends, life in jeopardy backstage. Cena Hart and CM Punk for finishing the show with an awesome promo that has kind of gotten lost in all this. To especially the EMTs, the WWE medical staff who acted quickly. I've seen this said, and I know it sounds a little bad, but thank God that this heart attack happened where it did, and it did not happen in his hotel room or at his home, because we probably would not be talking about Jerry Lawler still being alive right now and looking like he's going to pull out of this okay.
Absolutely. I mean, like we mentioned just this past week, and he was in Aruba handling an independent engagement he was involved in. And if it had happened down there, same exact situation. I don't know that we'd be talking about Jerry Lawler alive. WREG, the CBS affiliate out of Memphis, going further. He is currently using a ventilator at this point. That, according to WREG in Memphis, he is still being hooked to a ventilator, heavily sedated. The hope is to move Lawler off the ventilator as soon as possible. That a report as of 2:15 this afternoon from, actually, correction, 2:31 this afternoon, WREG, the CBS affiliate in Memphis, Tennessee. We will be following the story. What else can I say? We will be following the story at WrestleChat.net in the coming hours, let alone days and God forbid, weeks. Just a final thought from you, Benny, on the whole situation. Anything you want to add?
No, you know, we've talked about a lot of it. You know, same thing. We're going to keep everybody as updated as possible, you know, keep our eyes on the phones and on the Twitter, on the website. Just try to get as much news out as possible on this. Hopefully, it ends on a positive, and it already is a positive. He's in stable condition. You know, let's just keep hoping for better. So hopefully, a speedy recovery. Now that's really what we're going to be wishing for.
That's exactly what we're hoping for. Stable, but still in Isle of the Woods, very serious condition as well. For Benny Lopez and Brecklin Daniel, I'm Jim Williams. Thank you for listening. Thank you guys for contributing. And thanks to those of you on Twitter with your questions and your comments and your feedback. Stay with WrestleChat.net and at Twitter.com/WrestleChatNet for the latest on the condition of Jerry the King Lawler. Brett's working the phones, working the internet's various sources, and his own personal sources to get the information out there. Should it warrant, we'll come back with another podcast sometime either late tonight or sometime on Wednesday. I'm Jim Williams. Thanks for listening.